Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845.
It's We'll See About That with World Series MVP Ron Safe.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to We'll See About That. Ron Say here with my in-house producer, Mike Gary. Mike, there's not a lot of happy Milwaukee Buck fans anywhere in the country tonight after the being the number one seed, and Jimmy Butler did a number on them.
Yeah, fear the deer no more.
God almighty, 56 points. I think that was like the fourth highest playoff game ever, led by Elgin Baylor, I think, had 61, and then not remember who was the number one pot, but the Milwaukee Bucks, wow, what a horrible way to end it, and Giannis is not real happy. He's saying now that the season was a bust. The Warriors, what about the Warriors, the defending champions?
They are back.
They have gotten things going, and Draymond Green comes back and makes a significant contribution to their efforts to put them ahead. Amazing story. And Klay Thompson is getting hot, so Warrior fans have every reason to feel good about that. And, of course, the Denver Nuggets are the first team to move on, it's going to be very interesting. I think it's wide open. I the Boston series isn't over with yet. The Hawks are giving them trouble, so I see it as wide open.
It's been a great first round of the playoffs. It's the competitiveness has been there. We're seeing multiple higher seeds really be challenged and tested, which I think drives a lot of viewership to the audience. And it, like you said, we have the Bucks, the number one seed, the perennial championship favorite for a lot of people beginning the season, out in the first round.
Yeah,
and I wonder if Mike Budenholzer is going to be out as well.
Well, I guess the parity not only runs in college basketball, but it looks like it's filtering into the NBA as well. A lot of exciting things still coming up. The hockey playoffs are still going. We're going to have Bob Miller in studio here in a few weeks to talk about the final rounds of that. But we're certainly looking forward to discussing more about that. And we do have a very special guest coming up that I was fortunate enough to play with for a number of years. We actually played in three World Series together. We were part of four different All-Star games. He's one of the all-time greats in the switch-hitting category. A friend of mine for many years and a guy that came over and helped us get back on track in 1977. And that person you will find more out about. We'll see more about that with Reggie Smith right after we return.
Hi, this is Dodger legend Ron Say. If you're a business owner, would you like to save 20 to 30% on your monthly health insurance premium while improving your benefits? Then give BFF Financial a call. If you have more than 10 employees and you're interested in building a tax-free retirement income that can be funded with tax-deductible dollars, then give BFF Financial a call at 888-908-4BFF. Those are just two of the things that my friends at BFF Financial can help you with. They make some of the most important financial decisions that a business owner must make. Easy to understand. Many of my friends who are business owners always talk about how much they are looking to stretch their budgets and do more for their employees, their family, and themselves. If you are in this same situation, give my friends at BFF Financial a call at 888-908-4BFF. Call the team at BFF Financial at 888-908-4BFF to get a free consultation. Tell them Ron sent you. BFF Financial, simplifying the complex. 888-908-4BFF or visit us at BFFFinancial.com.
Hi, Fred Dreyer here to talk about all-natural ingredient Balance 7. Do you suffer from heartburn? Can't eat the foods you like? Then you need Balance 7. Balance 7 improves the acid-alkaline balance in the body. The right pH balance helps increase energy, memory, sleep, and it helps unlock your immune system. Balance 7 works. I know because I use it every day. So go ahead, eat that pepperoni pizza without heartburn. And now you can try Balance 7 and get 15 dollars off your order. Free shipping, a money-back guarantee, plus a free bottle of my smooth skin. Call 800-793-9039 and mention my name, Fred. 3 1-ounce sips a day is all you need. Try Balance 7, 800-793-9039. Code word Fred. You have nothing to lose with our money-back guarantee. 800-793-9039. Code word Fred. Or go to balance7.com.
Imagine getting ahead of your irritable bowel syndrome with constipation or IBS-C by treating it with Linzess. Then you could start proactively managing your constipation with belly pain and get ahead of your symptoms. Talk to your doctor about Linzess, linaclotide. Linzess is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually.
Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling.
Imagine, what could relief from IBS-C mean for you? Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
They still call me the Penguin.
Hello, everyone, and we're back. We'll see about that. We have a very special guest, one of the all-time great switch hitters in the history of Major League Baseball, a seven-time All-Star, played in 4 World Series, a world champion, a teammate, Reggie Smith. Reggie, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Ronnie.
It's nice to have you here, Reggie. And, you know, one of the things that I saw here as I wanted to get started, you grew up in Shreveport, Louisiana.
No.
Born in Shreveport?
I was born in Shreveport, yes.
And I can tell you that Shreveport, Louisiana was my first introduction to frog legs. I had a guy take me out after the ball game and down by this restaurant that was down by the water. I know nothing about Shreveport. But that was I actually liked it. I thought it was very good. Did you ever have an opportunity to try frog legs?
Yes, and
didn't
you know, I'm not a frog leg guy type guy. I've even tried alligator.
Oh,
and I found that to be more enjoyable than frog legs. I just couldn't. Just knowing that it was frog legs. You know?
Yeah, no, I hear. I understand. There's
couldn't get past it.
Yeah. You know, your father played for a single season with the Jacksonville Redcaps, a Negro American League team that went under in the season. And I understand that your mom, Nellie, was also fond of instruments, and so they kind of got you headed towards music and sports. And I know you have a story to tell about, at least I think you might, your neighborhood team called Zone 61. Do you remember much about that?
We were, the time Zone 61 was kind of the last zone at that time when they started numbering the areas in Los Angeles there, and the kids on the block, you know, that's in the neighborhood, that's what we did. We played ball. We played ball in the streets and would go to the local parks that were close by, and fortunately for me, there were two. One was Enterprise Park and the other was Athens Park, and then we would go to the parks there and get together when we could. Weren't playing in the streets to play games there, and that's what we kind of called ourselves, Zone 61. But as far as having the access at that time, those were the things that you did, especially during the summer, was go to the park and play in the recs and park leagues.
So wiffle ball, tennis ball, sock ball, you name it, you played them all, right?
Well, we didn't have wiffle balls. I mean, no? I'm dating myself a little bit, but the wiffle balls, it was more if you could find a tennis ball. Even for that matter, Ronnie, you could make a baseball.
Yes, we used to
rocks, socks, and
right. We used to wrap socks with tape.
Tape, you know? make a ball, or
yeah.
You would go to one of the local parks around that we had there. It was called Cressy Park at that time, and they played semi-pro ball there. And you would chase down foul balls. Some you would keep, and others you turn in for that 25-cent hot dog and a Coke.
Exactly.
At that time.
One of the things that I've always asked, when did you have this inkling that baseball would be in your future? And did you have, a favorite player that you modeled yourself or just really enjoyed how they carried themselves?
Ronnie, believe it or not, I wanted to be a football player.
Oh.
And baseball was something that just happened to come easy because my older brother played high school ball and had a chance to see him play and would play catch with him. He's 12 years older than me, so at an early age and then playing catch. But football, I really loved football and thought that's what I was going to go to college and do and play. But my dad got sick, and I felt it was an opportunity for me to do something to help the family. And at that time, there was no draft, so you could sign with any team that you wanted. And I had not known that a scout had been following me since I was 11 years old, playing Little League baseball, and we were in the Little League, the championship for the Little League to go to the Little League World Series, and I had played against his son, who was with a team in Torrance, and his name was Irv Palika, who happened to be a former Dodger pitcher when they were during the Brooklyn era there, and he had been following me that whole time, and I ultimately, playing high school ball and had an opportunity to play for Chet Brewer. And at that time, I was 15 and a half years old, and the remnants of the old Kansas City Monarchs used to come out and play, and they would barnstorm around. And then they formed a little league out here that we played at a park here in L.A. called South Park, and they would play Ross Snyder there, and they had seen me play and invited me out on one Sunday, and that's how I had a chance to play with some of the old Negro League players. So I guess you could say at a time, at 15, I was probably a professional before I became a professional. But I still wanted to play football. But when Dad got sick and scouts had started to talk, and Chet Brewer talking about maybe playing baseball, I looked at that as an option, and sure enough, I said, well, that's what I wanted to do to help the family. My dad was a little bit upset with me at the time, because he wanted me to go to school, go to college, but I told him, you had raised us to help the family when we could, if things were done, especially, my mom. And that's what I decided to do. And he said, okay, but don't look back. And it was the right decision. And instead of, I don't know how long a football career would have been, but I certainly, I don't think it would have lasted 22 years.
Well, I think you made the right choice. You had, things change and, priorities change. And completely understand that. You did what you needed to do at the time.
Well, I like to think it was divine intervention.
That's
pushed
okay
me
too.
In the direction sure. that I was supposed to go in life.
I only had one epiphany in my life, and I think it was like when I was 9 years old and I was playing on the backfield at the boys' club. And it was a 70-degree day on a Saturday in Tacoma, Washington, and it's like the clouds opened up and said, "Wouldn't it be nice if I could play this game every single day?" And that's kind of that's the light, and it closed up, and it's like, okay, now you go about your dream. But when did you start switch hitting? Because to me, like I said, you're one of MLB's all-time great switch hitters. When did that start, and which was your normal side?
I was always curious. Whatever I did on one side, I tried to do on the other. Out in the backyard, sometimes throwing rocks up in the alley and hitting them with a broomstick. I did that, pretending to be in games, and you know how we all kind of maybe picked out a hitter and said we were that hitter
right.
in the lineup. Well. If that batter was left-handed, well, I had to do it left-handed. And even I would try to throw left-handed, which I could do. I ultimately learned to throw left-handed. If I was kicking a football, I tried to kick left. You know, whatever I did on one side, I tried to do on the other. And ultimately, it wasn't until I was a junior in high school that I actually started to switch it. And it was because I used to take batting practice and hit balls into this canal in high school. And we didn't have any left-handed hitters, and the coach came to myself and another player and said, if you guys don't hit left-handed in the game, you're not going to play. So I became a switch hitter and a junior in high school.
Well, I certainly would have changed my mind. And, you know, it is true, though, that, you know, you certainly give yourself a greater opportunity by being a switch hitter. We're going to return right after this to We'll See About That with Reggie Smith.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. If you've had a revision or removal surgery of a hernia mesh implant after 2008, pay close attention to this message. Hernia mesh manufacturers have recalled some of the mesh material that may have been used in your surgery due to high failure rate. The FDA has even blamed the recalled mesh material for some of the worst of the health issues reported by doctors and patients. If you've had two or more hernia surgeries for the same issue and you're having severe complications, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now.
800-817-2968. 800-817-2968. 800-817-2968. That's 800-817-2968.
If you're moving to another state, you're getting a fresh start in a brand new town. And when you choose a moving company to help get your valuable possessions to that new home of yours, you want somebody that's going to take care of your things like you would. That's why you need to call Colonial Van Lines. They're America's number one moving company for a reason. Because they'll take care of your things like they would their possessions. They'll use caution so nothing gets damaged. And they won't treat you like a number, they'll treat you like a friend. And when you call now on a qualified move across state lines, they'll give you a $250 discount. Move your things the right way. Call Colonial Van Lines now for a free quote.
Call now to learn more about this special $250 long-distance move discount. 800-847-0225. 800-847-0225. 800-847-0225. That's 800-847-0225.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way, way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC Rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra-high quality, ultra-reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738.
800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Hello, Ron Say. We have returned. We'll see about that. Ron Say here with Reggie Smith. Reggie, I want to continue this conversation, not only about switch hitting, but I want to you work with a lot of kids, and you always have had this academy in Encino for years and years and years. And you've worked with a ton of kids. You've produced major league players, terrific accomplishment from that end. How is it that our hitting of the past has changed to the way that it is today? And if you can give me kind of an example of where it's gone and to where it is today.
Ronnie, to put it in a nutshell, because of the analytics and the propensity to want to produce higher slugging percentages through home runs and doubles, hitters have forgotten, or they no longer know how to use good bat control.
Right.
Because what has been unfortunately taken away from the game was the ability to move runners, advanced runners on the bases, a hit and run. And those things require a certain amount of bat control, control that we develop playing simple games like Pepper.
Exactly.
And the things that we needed to do to be able to produce runs. Well, the swings that are being taught today to elevate the baseball, and and certainly, yes, you do want to get the ball into the air for a higher percentage or chances of having a successful outcome. It produced a swing that to create that, to elevate the ball. But in the process of doing that, as the swings became more vertical to get lift, mm-hmm. it created opportunities for misses, swing misses, where pitchers were able to attack you better now, especially on balls up. In the old days, pitchers didn't want to throw the ball up in the zone because they called those fence-high pitches. All you had to do was hit it, and it was over the fence. And now that's not so much the case because the hitters can't get to it because of the
velocity.
Steep angle of the bat coming in and the higher velocities. So back in the day, what you see pitchers that may not have had the same velocity, they knew how to pitch, but they could throw to those areas where your weaknesses were. Now you don't have to have the kind of command that they did then. You just throw harder. And you elevate the ball, and it makes it tougher for hitters to get to that because they're trying to lift the ball instead of, you know what, match the plane of it. Like the old pitchers had it mm-hmm. right. Those pitches are already over the fence. All you have to do is hit it on pitches that are up in the zone. I had one hitting instructor say to me that, to just take those pitches no matter what. And I said, even with two strikes? And they said, yes, because if it's not a pitch that you can handle, just take it. The results is not going to be that much different. I said, what do you mean? What happens if I hit a single? He says, well, we don't want to hit singles.
Yeah. When did you guys actually start to see that evolution? As a fan's view, I really saw that in 1998 when you had Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa and that great home run chase. And it seemed like also that you're more likely to become famous and get endorsements if you hit 40 home runs and hit 260 rather than if you are hitting 330 and your team is winning 100 games a year.
Well, there was a commercial done by Tom Glavine and Greg Maddux.
Yeah.
Chicks love the long ball.
Yeah, chicks love the big ball, long ball.
And it changed everything. And, the whole process, the evolution of where it was back then, even before us, is incredible. We are now striking out more times than we're getting base hits. I think the Houston Astros are probably the only team that defies that. Maybe that's Dusty's old school baseball coming to remind us that it still works. But the defenses play deeper. There's no threat of a bunt. There's no threat of a guy, you know, hitting the ball the other way necessarily. They're going to crowd you, and as you've seen, you know, the new rule says, you know, the infield shifting is modified now, and the one problem I had here years ago, even though a number of people didn't ask, they said, how do you like the metrics? Well, I like the metrics and the fact that we have them, but I don't like them to be enforced. You know, I there's a feel for the game, just like Dusty has, that the old school guy has. But to me, this whole thing has gotten out of whack. Now we have bigger bases, which now for the first time in a long time, you know, we've invited base stealing back into the game, right?
So I have a question I want to ask you, Ron.
Yeah.
Now, to me, anything, those pitches that were from the waist to the letters, I thought that you were really a good high ball hitter, that ball up in the zone. Imagine you being told to lay off of that pitch. What do you think?
I think I would have said you've hired me to do the wrong job.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So that's what's happening. And we talk about old school and how Dustin and these guys are getting back to that. It goes to a conversation that I had with the past hitter with Martin. Got his first name Martinez. And I asked him why there were so many third call strikes, batters not swinging the bat. And he said, it's because I didn't get my pitch. And I said, well, if you were to get that ball that's it's on the outside part of the plate and hit a single into right field, he said, well, they don't want singles anymore. Well, in terms of strikeouts, why would you not still swing at that pitch? Because if you have power, which you do, you can hit the ball out. And he said, a strikeout is just another out. I said, wait a minute. Yeah. Wait a minute. How can a strikeout be just another out? He said, it's just another out. I said, no, a strikeout is not just another out. It's a missed opportunity, because if I swing the bat, I have a chance. If I don't swing it, I have no chance. So this, somehow or another, this attitude and this approach has permeated baseball, and they're starting to get away from it now because they're seeing, hey, wait a minute. If they're overloading the field to one side and hitters are being told, don't try to change it, don't try to hit against it, because we still want you to try to hit home run. I said, that makes no sense to me, because if singles are not valued, then why do you accept a walk?
Well, I've had a problem with a lot of the philosophies, and you're right. It's all about, you know, we don't care about this, we don't care about that anymore. We want to hit 3-run bombs. You know, we're gonna hit 4 home runs a game. We're gonna strike out, and I realize that there's guys good enough to strike you out, and strikeouts are part of the game. But my feeling is that these guys are looking pitch and location.
Correct.
And I don't think we hit that way.
No.
We adjusted.
No,
you know, you look, and if you get a breaking ball that's in that zone out there, then you ought to hammer that thing.
Well, you did things to get on base. And by getting on base, that puts pressure on the defense. And it certainly puts the pressure on the pitcher.
Well,
I preferred to hit with runners on base, because it was a chance for me, in Amen. My mind, to kind of flip the script a bit, because I said, I'm not the one in trouble. He's in trouble. Because if he makes a mistake, it's a big mistake. And I look at guys, and I often talk about you, Garvin, the guys that, you know, you weren't these 6'2" behemoths guys that they have now that they look at as just being power hitters. You guys hit 20 plus home runs, and you drove in 90 plus home runs a year, and still did it with a very good average. Whereas I look at the average today is less than 230 for a team or the major league average, and that's considered, oh, that's okay. Well, and you can strike out 150, 200 times. It's a good thing that I didn't do that, because I probably wouldn't be here today. I'd have hung myself. Strike out. I never struck out 100 times in my career.
Well, I can tell you that, there's a lot of statistics, the metric statistics, hitting with two strikes. I did not know that the major league average for hitting with two strikes under any circumstances was in the neighborhood of 160. Trey Turner apparently was one of the four guys in MLB last year that had a batting average above 200 with two strikes. I found that to be unbelievable. I don't know what they're thinking about today, but when you don't apply pressure to the defense, they get real comfortable, right? They don't shorten up, they don't do a whole lot of anything. You're not putting enough pressure on them. Hopefully, maybe the change of a little bit of old school baseball coming into base stealing will help change the game again and make these people understand that you can play baseball well. With some of the old school techniques still in place.
And it's exciting.
And it is exciting. You're right. And I think people do get excited. Okay, we're going to be back right after this. We'll see about that with Reggie Smith.
Heart failure, carpal tunnel syndrome, shortness of breath, stomach issues, lower back pain. How does it all add up? If you have heart failure and any of those seemingly unrelated symptoms sound familiar, it's time to talk with your cardiologist and get the full picture. They may add up to transthyretin amyloid cardiomyopathy. ATTRCM is a rare and underdiagnosed disease. Recognize the signs and discuss them with your doctor soon. Learn more at connectwithyourheart.com. That's connectwithyourheart.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
This report is sponsored by Amazon. To celebrate National Pet Month, Amazon is hosting the second Amazon Pet Day on Tuesday, May 2nd and Wednesday, May 3rd. Amazon Pet Day will offer 48 hours of tail-wagging deals across popular pet categories. There's something for every pet owner, from food and treats to toys and healthcare supplies, clothing, habitats, and more from popular pet-approved brands like Furbo, Purina, Blue Buffalo, Hill Science Diet, Milk-Bone, and more. Whether customers are preparing to be a first-time pet parent or have a house full of beloved animals, everyone can enjoy savings and deals on Amazon Pet Day. Amazon Pet Day will offer more top deals for pet products in Amazon store than ever before. Plus, Prime members who shop on Amazon Pet Day will also have access to special pet movie deals on Prime Video. Pets are an important part of the family, so mark your calendar for Amazon Pet Day on May 2nd and May 3rd, and visit amazon.com/petday to shop.
Are you someone who tries to drive while distracted by your phone? Someone who props it up on the steering wheel or peeks down at it for a glance? Or just scrolls and scrolls? If so, you could be the next person to get into a fender bender, get a ticket, veer off the road, or even cause a crash that kills you or someone else. Enough with the phones already. Put them down and pay attention, or pay the price. You drive, you text, you pay. Paid for by NHTSA.
Attention small business owners. The IRS has just released a notice that businesses eligible to file for the Employee Retention Credit should not file with companies charging a percentage of their ERC refund. These companies have been shown to overqualify businesses, leaving the business owner open to audits and tax penalties. ERTCfiling.com helps small business owners file their Employee Retention Credit forms accurately and at a cost that is a fraction of their competitors. And most importantly, ERTCfiling.com charges a flat fee, not a percentage of what you get back. So there's never a worry about overqualification. Businesses that were open in 2020 and 2021 and subject to any COVID government mandate, such as a capacity limitation, social distancing, supply chain issues, and increased vendor costs, will qualify. You do not need to have a reduction in revenue to qualify for this program. Stop any work you're doing with your current employee retention credit provider and call 833-GET-ERTC or go to ertcfiling.com to schedule your free 30-minute consultation today.
Steve Carlin going head-to-head with Ron Say. High drive into deep left field. Back goes Leszczynski. It's gone! Grand slammer!
2-2 to Say. It's a high in the air to deep left field. Winfield back. She's gone!
This Week in Dodger History is brought to you by BFF Financial. The solutions are ours. The decisions are yours.
The fans.
And in This Week in Dodger History, brought to you by BFF Financial, we have a good one. We have two of our esteemed gentlemen sitting right across from me. Had some heck of some games in this week, 1977 in April, last week of April. Ron Say cracks a seventh inning home run in a Dodgers 6-4 win over the Expos. Mr. Say finished the month with an April major league record 29 RBIs. That record has since been eclipsed. Sorry, Ron. To lead the Dodgers in a 17-3 win under new manager Tommy Lasorda. And also, on the 25th of that same year, same month, Mr. Reggie Smith, two hits, two walks, three runs when the Dodgers beat Atlanta.
You remember that game well, wasn't it? I mean, that's, right off the top of your head, right?
Yeah, no. That's what happens when you get old, right?
Oh, God. 1977, if you're going to do the math, I mean, that's a long time ago, folks.
I was born in 1980.
Thank you.
Wow.
Thanks for reminding me that one of my few major league records have been erased. I mean, they play 30 games in April now, not 20. Okay, let's remember that.
Just real fast, I want to go back to something you guys mentioned in that last segment about on base and versus power hitting. We have this new metric, advanced stat, OPS, which is on base plus slugging. Aren't those two things kind of antithetical when you're trying to get on base as much as possible? Like Reggie said, you're trying to hit singles. Sluggings, you're trying to hit doubles, triples, and home runs. Aren't those two things at odds to each other?
I don't know if they're at odds necessarily, but it's just a mechanism. You get one base for a single, two for a double. That's where the slugging percentage comes in. It's how many bases you accumulate. I always felt that, I predominantly where I hit, I was an RBI guy. That's where my centerpiece was. There are times where we're all going to lead off, and then you have to be the leadoff hitter. So basically, I'm probably going to be a little bit more selective. I'm going to try to work count. I'm not going to steal bases for you, but I walked a lot. So I try to, either get a pitch I could drive out here, middle of the field, or get a walk, start a rally. Because there's lots of times, especially when Davey Lopes, our catalyst, would lead off a game in the first inning and steal a base and Russell would move him over and Reggie Smith would hit a fly ball to center field. We got a one-run lead already, and if we do that a couple times, you got to score three. And three runs in a game is not an easy chore, not back when we're playing.
Yeah,
But I just felt that we had a team that could hurt you in a lot of different ways. And I thought Reggie, the fact that he was a switch hitter, was the ideal third place hitter on our club when he got traded over here in 1976 and then started hitting in that three spot in 77. I mean, both sides of the plate, steal some bases. You're not going to pitch around him. You got to pitch, he's going to be able to counter that. We just had a really, I thought the 77 team, I think you might feel the same way, was our most talented team,
right?
And yet, we couldn't bring it home. And that's because of some guy by another name of Reggie had a big game six. It was kind of one of those, like, you really had to have a game like that. We had a chance, and now you run into that steamroller, and it was just history. But how did you feel about the 77 club? This is our 30 home run foursome group, too, by the way, of which Reggie has a story to go with.
I still feel that that's probably the best club, best team that I ever played on, because we had so many things that you look for in a team and desire to have, and that's pitching, defense. We could hit for average, we could hit for power, and we could score runs. And we did those things and did them very well. And as Ronnie said, that he was difficult to pitch through our lineup because if one guy didn't get you, the other could. So it was a matter of finding a way to get on base. And as you were talking about the slugging percentage, the on base plus slugging, they want to have the man, they would rather have him at second base than first base. Well, I look at it as I would rather have you on base, period, because if you have guys that have power, and if they're only going to allow you to hit a single, I say take it, because you're on base. And if that guy behind you now hits the extra base hit, you have a chance to score a run, and you have a man at second base. If that's what you're desiring, because if that's the case, why do you include and say speed? So he should be able to score from first base on a long hit. I say put pressure on the defense by having runners on base. And yes, at any given time, like Ronnie said, you lead off. Well, it's more difficult to lead off with a double and a home run than there is to lead off with a single, because certainly there are more singles hit than any other hit in baseball.
Yeah. Well, you know, I know you had – I loved it. I used to let – I know you had a signal with Davey.
Yes.
And for me, Davey is right in front of me. You sometimes have your back to him. So you've got a signal. I could see him go, and I would – he knew that I was going to let him run because, like you said, I'd much rather have him down at second base. It's a lot easier for me to drive him in. But – I would take pitches, and I say, you can go anytime you want to, preferably early. I'm going to let you go. And if you start switching that, then what happens is they're not familiar with, you know, the person that's hitting in this spot is not familiar with what we got going on here.
The routine has kind of been altered.
Well,
and you
now
this...
he's fouling off pitches.
Yeah.
When Davey's going to steal the base 87% of the time. Okay, I mean, to me, that's like 100%. You let him run, he's gonna take a great throw to throw him out.
Yeah,
and so we had this, you know, thing going on. We had a nice little thing where we really understood how all this was going to work. And I think that playing together for so long, you know, not only the infield, most successful infield in Major League history by fact, was able to play comfortably. You know, it gave us a sense of comfort knowing that these guys are going to play every day. You know, there's not going to be a mix. We don't have to worry about it. And when you look at the outfield that we put out there with Dusty, Reggie, and Rick Monday, we had eight guys running before on the field together. And I think it was Sparky Anderson said early on when he saw us doing this routine, he says, by June, you guys are going to all be running in a different direction. Nah, we weren't.
Well, it's like what Reggie, you know, Reggie, you're not only you're a great, fantastic athlete, but also an accomplished musician as well. And as you know, you sit in that gig that first time, it's a little bit clunky. But, you know, by the time you've jammed with that group of musicians maybe 100, 150 times, there's a simpatico there that is kind of this nonverbal communication.
It's all worked out. Something that I want to bring up about what Ronnie was talking about, that the concept. The manager, Lasorda, trusted us. He knew that we knew the game, so we were more involved in calling a lot of our own plays and situations in that, because Ronnie alluded to it. I had a sign with Davey when I wanted him to run because there was a hole there generally at first base. Me hitting left-handed, they wanted to leave that hole there. But if I had that nasty pitcher just throwing that nasty sinker away from me on the outside corner, well, I don't want to pull that ball to and hit into a double play. If the shortstop had to vacate and I was getting that nasty sinker away, I would hit the ball through there. It was a chance for me to get him to third base, me on first. Oh, I got a hit now, but I got Garvey and Say coming up behind me with two guys and Dusty behind them with three guys, four guys to potentially maybe hit a three-run home run in that situation. Again, putting pressure on the defense and still providing holds for them. we could do that. The managers allowed us to do that. Today, no, they don't want them doing things on their own. Managers want to have the control of the game. So therefore, players don't have to think about situational baseball anymore because it's been eliminated for them. So that was the difference in why I say that the 77 team was so good. We could do those things. We control the game on the field ourselves and sort of let us do it. And I think we were pretty good at it.
Well, we were good at it. It shows that we were good at it. We run off and get to a 17-3 record in the first month. By the time that we get through the end of May, it's over. This division of this is once in a lifetime kind of thing. You know, you just don't. You're going to battle all the way. But we had such a cushion, and I think that one of Tommy's better assets was that he understood that we could do this, and he didn't try to overmanage us. There's a lot of managers that I saw that kind of graded themselves by how many moves they could make in a game. And I'm saying, why? You know, I heard that and I just said, you know, I think that, you know, the fact that we have so many guys that have played together, we came through. We're a homegrown infield. You know, we didn't have to worry about it. We didn't have to look around and say, are you coming with me? They're already there. So it just it made it very simple, and I think, you know, we had a great fan base. They treated us to the first 3 million attendance in 1978, I believe it was, and we gave them 4 World Series. You know, so it was a great exchange, and Reggie was a big part of that. You know, he was kind of a missing link. We had Jimmy Winn there for a while, who came in 1974, had a great season. You know. And had the highest WAR, I think, for one season that we had during the time I was there. I think it was 7.7. And actually, Reggie's year in 1977, he was the highest-ranked player on our team by WAR. So a lot of contributions from Reggie, and it was just a great time for us in baseball. It didn't get crazy with the steroids. It didn't get crazy with a lot of the other stuff. That's the part that I really appreciate. And money wasn't a driving factor like it is today. You know, big lures, unbelievable sums of money. I did want to talk briefly about Shohei Ohtani. I've never seen anything like this. I'm not sure anybody else has either. But he is a bigger life story, I think, than Babe Ruth at this point. He's a better pitcher by far. But to think that this guy could be a top 3 baseball player on the field every day and be a top 3 pitcher, unbelievable.
It's unheard of in today by today's standard. But I think it's something that going back to when we were in high school in our day, that it wouldn't have been a surprise, because that's what you were. The pitchers were oftentimes the
best player on the team. Yeah, best player on the team. Right. Yeah.
Well, he's managed to. Do you think that there's a chance that he could be the first $500,000, $1 billion player?
Yes.
Do you think it could go over that? Could be 6. You think you'd go to 6?
I'm going to stop at 5.
Let's split the difference. $550 million. How about that?
Yeah. Well, okay. It's just a phenomenal thing that's going on. I'm really glad. It's exciting for me. I've never seen anything like it, and I certainly hope that he continues to play a long time. We're coming to the end of our last segment here, fifth segment. We're going to be back right after this with Reggie Smith.
Here's a simple solution for you. If you have back pain, knee pain, or any other pain in your body, it's as simple as drinking a glass of water every day. Your body is over 60% water, and drinking the best water you can get is crucial for your health. Echo Antioxidant Water, developed by Synergy Science, is the best water you can drink, and it's only available through this special radio offer. Over 1,000 research studies have shown that the powerful antioxidant used in Echo Antioxidant Water can reduce inflammation, improve brain function, help you sleep better, and boost gut health. With just 2 glasses a day, you can experience these benefits right from the comfort of your home. Some people have even replaced their morning coffee jolt with Echo Antioxidant Water. Call now and learn which Echo products by Synergy Science is right for you. We offer free shipping and a full 30-day money-back guarantee. Change your health by simply changing your water.
800-944-1789. 800-944-1789. 800-944-1789. That's 800-944-1789.
If you're taking a calcium supplement, it's probably not doing what you think it is. That's because you still lose bone density with traditional calcium supplements. That's where calcium from algae comes in. AlgaeCal Plus doesn't just stop bone loss. It's the only supplement ever shown to increase bone density in clinical studies. That's right. AlgaeCal Plus increases bone density, even if you're in your 80s. That's because your bones need more than just calcium and vitamin D to stay strong. There are actually 13 minerals and 3 vitamins needed to build healthy new bone, and AlgaeCal Plus contains all of them, and it's proudly made in the USA. Your calcium doesn't increase bone density. AlgaeCal Plus does. Talk to one of our bone health consultants today and see how AlgaeCal Plus can start increasing your bone density. Call now.
800-437-8217. 800-437-8217. 800-437-8217. That's 800-437-8217.
If you or a loved one is suffering from a physical or emotional condition that has left you unable to work, then listen carefully. Take this number down. 800-593-7491. That's 800-593-7491. When you call, you'll speak with a Social Security disability expert and get a free evaluation to see if you may qualify for disability insurance benefits from the U.S. government. That's right, a monthly cash payment paid directly to you from the Social Security Administration. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied disability benefits, call now. The disability attorneys at Pinnacle Disability can help you build your case, file an appeal, and represent you at no upfront cost to you. Don't wait another minute to see if you may qualify for your Social Security disability benefits. Call Pinnacle Disability Group at 800-593-7491 for your free case evaluation. That's 800-593-7491. 800-593-7491. Call now.
Hey, Ron. How you doing?
Campy, just fine.
Okay, we are back for our final segment. Reggie
doing?
Smith. Reggie, we were talking about Shohei Ohtani, and we wanted to go a little bit further talking about that sweeper pitch and Bert Hooten's knuckle curveball and John Smoltz's slider and whatever else. You're on.
Well, watching the pitch back up, as we said, it comes from trying to overthrow it at times. And Bert Hooten, in his knuckle curveball, he would throw this pitch and then his fingers would jut out. And because of getting on top and having a higher angle of release for it, the pitch would start to break away like a curveball to a right-handed batter and actually start coming back in. It would start going the other way. And John Smoltz would throw his slider so hard that it would back up as well. And then part of that was, I guess, intention from the arm angle and over rotation and the pronation of the wrist that caused that, puts Hooten's curveball at time, knuckle curve, would look like a screwball.
Was Hooten the hardest you ever faced?
Hooten?
Yeah.
No, I didn't try to hit those pitches. the old saying used to be, how to become a good breaking ball hitter is don't miss the fastball.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'd like to think I was a pretty good fastball hitter.
Yeah. No, it's true. And Ohtani's got this sweeper pitch that breaks probably 17 inches or 23 inches or whatever. It's phenomenal. I don't know where they come up with these guys, but, you know, there's a lot of pitches that have been, no longer in baseball. You know, we had the fork ball and the palm ball and the split finger. Split finger probably doesn't exist much in today's game either. But, the Houston Astros, to not upset too many Dodger fans, are on a roll. You know, they just got taken down probably the best team in the moment in the National League, the Atlanta Braves, and then they go in and shut out the Tampa Bay Rays twice. So I don't know what it's going to look like here, but it looks like that Houston is going to be one of those teams in the mix with Dusty Baker down the stretch. Reggie, I want to thank you so much for being our guest today. Great stuff. We didn't cover an inkling of the bullet points, but we had great stories to tell. It was wonderful to be reminiscing about all that. Thanks again for joining us. Michael Young is our next guest next week. Thank you for joining us.